The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pekudei. In the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, it states, Eile Pekudei HaMishkon Mishkano Edus Asher Pukad Alpi Meisha Avodes Halavim B'yar Yisomor Ben Aroin HaKoyen. These are all of the countings and the amounts of the Mishkon, of the sanctuary, of the materials that were contributed by the people, the gold, the silver, the copper, and so forth, for the Mishkon, for the sanctuary. Mishkano Edus, the sanctuary of the testimony, which was counted by Meisha and which was given over to the Levim in the hands of Yisomer ben Aaron HaKohen. Now it states in this parsha all of the materials and the necessities for the Mishkon and the Kelov and all of the objects in the Mishkon are counted, and we learn about the way the Mishkon is built and the Hakomos HaMishkon, that it is erected. It states Mishkan HaEdus, the sanctuary of testimony. We can ask the question, what does that mean? What is the sanctuary testifying to?
Rashi brings Edus li Israel Shevita lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maisa Egu. The sanctuary is testifying to the fact that the Almighty forgave Klal Yisrael al Maisa Egel because of the sin of the golden calf. Sharei Hishre Shchinose Benehem. For he has brought his Shchina between them, amongst them. This means as follows. The purpose of the Mishkon is, the word Mishkon is from the word Shochein, to dwell. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, V'osu li migdosh, you shall make for me a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. The purpose of the Mishkon in the Midbar, in the desert, and which was later to become the Migdosh Kavua, the established base of Migdosh in Yerushalayim, was that in order to make a dira, a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst you, to bring him down amongst ourselves. This is why it's called Mishkon Shochein, and this refers to the Shechina, the dwelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael. Now, it is referred to here as Mishkan or Edus, the Mishkon of testimony. It testifies. So Rashi asks, what does it testify to? It testifies to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven Klal Yisrael for the very severe hate, transgression of the Egel Azov of worshipping the golden calf. If you recall, the Torah was given in Sivan, the month of Sivan, which is when we celebrate Shavuos. But 40 days later, Klal Yisrael went, when Moshe was a little late in accordance to their calculation in coming down from the mountain, the people went and they made a golden calf and they worshipped it. So at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe to break the tablets. And then Moshe went up to the mountain for a second 40 days and for a third 40 days, and finally he and Israel were forgiven, and that was on Yom Kippur. And then they came down, he came down, and he was commanded to instruct the people on the Asiyas HaMishkon, the building of the sanctuary. So from the fact that the Mishkon was built and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to dwell in it, like we learned in this parsha, Anan HaKoveh, there was the cloud of glory over the Mishkon. So this testified that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled with Klal Yisrael and he forgave them for that cardinal sin of the golden calf. Therefore, it is called Mishkan HaEdus, the sanctuary of testimony. This is what Rashi tells us from the Chazal. The Gurayi, the Maral in the Gurayi, explains a little further that even though the Torah itself should be a testimony to this, because it was after the golden calf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah again, and he gave the Luchos HaShniyos, the second tablets. So why do we need a further testimony? So Neri answers, because Torah itself is not necessarily a testimony. Torah is tzivuim, commands. A king commands his people, whether he's happy with them or not. He commands the people. So from the fact that we were given 613 mitzvahs, is not necessarily a testimony that he forgave the sin of the golden calf. But from the fact that he comes to dwell with us, Ein Adam Dor Imi Shesene, a person doesn't dwell with someone that he hates. You only live together with someone that you love. So this was a sign that he had forgiven Klal Yisrael. The fact is, he goes a little further, that at the time of the golden calf, Klal Yisrael, was like an isha, a wife that was unfaithful to her husband. It was Zonu Achrei Elohim Acherim. Klal Yisrael went after other gods. They were unfaithful to Hashem. So it was like a wife that was unfaithful to her husband. And therefore her husband goes away. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back to dwell with Klal Yisrael, so this is a testimony that the sin was not their sin. It was the sin because of the Erev Rav, of the great multitude of other nations that came with them, and it was really not their sin. Therefore, the husband forgives the wife and comes back. So this is the explanation in Mishkan HaEdus. Accordingly, we see that the Mishkan represents the Hashroz Ashkina, the dwelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yisrael, which is actually the Maila Achreina. It is the ultimate and final level that one can reach. And this comes even after Torah. For example, Torah was given first in Sivan, or again on Yom Kippur, and only afterwards came the Hakomas HaMishkan. Or like we mention in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, when we say Kama Milus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us many great gifts and many great levels, and we list off all of the levels. So it is the Bonu Lono Es HaMikdosh, that he built for us the Mikdosh. This comes after. This is the final ultimate level. And it has to come after Torah, because this represents the divuk, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael. And this can only come after Torah, because only through Torah can such a state be reached. The fact is, the Medrash tells us that it was because of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to live with Klal Yisrael. Medrash tells us this in the beginning of Parshas Truma, that he had given the Torah to Yisrael. And Hashem says, the Torah to me is like my only daughter. An example of a great king, a mighty king that had just one daughter. And he gives the daughter away in marriage now to a prince. And now the festivities are over, and the prince says, give me my wife, I want to return home. And the king says, I can't live without her. If you take her away from me, I'll never be happy again. Not give her to you, this I can't keep her from you, because I already gave her and you're married to her. On the other hand, it's not good for you to take her either. So what should I do? So he said, do this for me, that wherever you go, build a house for me also, that I might come and live with you. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I gave you the Torah. this is my only daughter. Now the festivities are over, you're going to take the Torah and leave me. This I can't. I cannot endure this. Take back the Torah, I can't. I already gave it to her. To you. So what should you do? Asuli migdush v'shochanti b'seichom. Build for me also a small house, that wherever you go, I might come along. See? So the Maral brings from there in various places that we see that it is through the Torah that brings the Shekhinah to us. And this was the Maila Achreina, this was the ultimate level that came to Klal Yisrael, Bono Lono Es HaMikdosh. And this is what the Chazal write, say, that above the Oren HaKodesh, the Oren was the ark where the Sefer Torah was kept in the tablets, there were the two Kruvim. These were images of a young boy and a young girl who were like angels with wings. And it states, Bizman Yisrael Aisin Ritzein Ishel Mokum, when Yisrael fulfilled the will of the Almighty, then there was Ava B'nehem, there was love between them. P'nehem Elochiv, they faced each other. Bizman She'ein Aisin Ritzein Ishel Mokum, but when they did not fulfill the will of the Almighty, then these two images would turn away from each other. One represented Hashem and the other represented Yisrael. So the Mishkan represented the Shekhinah, which represented the great love between Hashem and Yisrael. And therefore it was a testimony that he forgave the sin of the golden calf, which was Mafrid, which was a division between them. Today is Chorvalonu Es Beiseinu. We do not have the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdosh, and we're in Golos. And although we still have Shekhinah in Golos, the Chazal tell us, but it's not to this level that it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh. But let's devote a few minutes this evening to some of these principles of the Ava, of the love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order that we can at least strive somewhat for this level. In Parshas Ekev, that's in the Devarim, Yud Aleph. Pasuk Devarim Yud Aleph, no, excuse me, Devarim Yud Pasachov. It states, as Hashem Elakecho Tira Isai Etira, you shall fear the Lord your God, also Savoid, you shall worship him, Uvei Sidbok, you shall cleave to him, ubishmei tishaveya, and you shall swear by his name. So first it states, as Hashem Elakecho Tira, you shall fear the Lord your God. Then later in the Pasuk it states, uvo sidbok, that you shall cleave to him. First you shall fear him, and then you shall cleave to him. The Sifri brings, the Sifri in Parshas Vayeshanan, right, brings, what is the difference between Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem? Between, if you fear Hashem, if you serve Hashem from fear, because you have fear from him, or you are intimidated or terrified, or you have great respect and awe, and between Avas Hashem. The Sifri says, Hefrish bein ha'esem me'ava, ela esem me'ir.
The difference is ki aisu me avos chora kofel umekufel. He who serves Hashem because of his love for him, then his reward is doubled many, many, many times over the one who serves Hashem because of fear for him.
If a person is friendly with another person because of fear, or a servant is a faithful servant to a king because of fear, when it becomes too difficult, when the task becomes too difficult, then matrichai v'heilechlei, then he leaves him.
But
when a person serves because of love, then the most difficult task is easy. We all know a great principle. When it comes to do something which you don't want to do, and you're forced to do it for whatever reason it is, then the easiest task can be the most difficult in the world. When it comes to do something that you want to do because you enjoy it and you love to do it, then the most difficult task can be the easiest task. This is a human nature. Many times a person feels, "Oy, I'm so busy, or I'm so tired that I don't have time for anything." When something comes his way that he enjoys doing, he wants to do it, all of a sudden he has the energy to do it, and all of a sudden he has the time to do it. There's a chazal that states that raglaim shel odom, the feet of a person, carries him automatically to the place where he loves to go. It is human nature. I once saw the Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, write in a letter. He says it's the human nature that no matter how busy a person is, when something comes to him that he loves to do, he sets everything aside in order to do it. This is the great motivator of love and enjoyment. Then there's duty. There's many things we do because of duty. A soldier fights in the war because of duty. An employee works for an employer because of duty. Servant serves a king because of duty. Sometimes a duty can become too difficult. Or even if it's not too difficult, he does it with a half of heart. We spoke about this in the previous shurim. Someone who does something because of duty, alright, he tries his best. But someone who does something because of love and enjoyment, so then you have the entire person in it. Someone who does something because of duty, there's a limit. It becomes too difficult. This is beyond expectations. This is beyond duty, responsibilities. Someone who does something because of love, no matter how difficult it is, he still wants to do it. He's having a good time with it. He's enjoying it. So that's what the Sifri says. Ma bein, what is the difference between he who serves Hashem because of love, of fear, and he who serves Hashem because of love? The one who serves because of fear, he's serving out of duty. It's like a servant that if the king will be matriach, if the king will bother him, press him, he'll labor him too much, olachle, one day he'll say goodbye. While the one who serves because of avo, no, he's always there. And therefore his char is kofa mechupa. His char is doubled and doubled, because he encompasses everything that the other person does, the other person serving with a half of heart, plus a great deal more. Now, this is why first it states, as Hashem Elokecha tiro, and only later in the Pasuk it says, uvay sidvok. First it states, you shall fear Hashem, and later it says, uvay sidvok, you shall cleave to Hashem. Sidvok refers to the love of Hashem. Because you can only come to that level later. First you have to serve because of duty. You have to serve because of responsibility. You have to serve because of fear. Later you can develop further where you serve because of love. That's a later level. So now from the Sifri we understand what does this posuk mean. And we also see that the bosidvok, the avo, the love between Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as sidvok, to cleave. Now we'll go a step further. It's explicit in the Torah, the mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where is that? That's in Parshas Veschanan. In Veschanan, Vov, the word in Vov, Posuk Dalet, this we're all familiar with because this is the Shema. It states Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echot, that we speak of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu. Here, O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, the God who is our God, Hashem Echot, He is one. And then we are after Eis Hashem Elokecho, you shall love the Lord your God, v'chol levavecho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol me'edecho, with all of your heart, with all of your life, and with all of your means. So here is explicit the mitzvah asay, the positive commandment to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral asks a good kasha, yes, a good question. Why does it say this mitzvah, this all-important mitzvah, right after the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echot? What does one have to do with the other? In the Shema, we proclaim that Hashem is one. Now we speak that we are commanded to love Hashem. What is the smichas hadvorim? Why is one related to the other? Another question in the same vein we can ask is Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Just excuse me 1 minute. Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis brings the famous story with Rabbi Akiva. When they took Rabbi Akiva, the Romans decreed that no one should teach Torah, and if they will, then they'll be put to death. And Rabbi Akiva said, impossible. It's impossible for a Jew to go without learning Torah, to go without teaching Torah. So he taught Torah by Rabbim publicly, and they caught him and they sentenced him to death. When they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, Zman Krishma Hoyo, it was the time for saying the Shema. Vayosorkin es besorei b'masreika shel barzel, and they were torturing him to death. They were taking off his flesh with combs of steel, and he was enduring great suffering. And still he wanted to say the Shema in order to, the Shema is where we speak of the oneness of Hashem, and be Ava with love. He wanted to declare the oneness of Hashem. Omru le Talmidov, his disciples said to him, Rabbeinu, Atkan, our Rebbe, even now also, you want to declare the oneness of Hashem with love during such a time? Omalehem, he said to them, Kol yomai hayisi mitztar al haposuk hazeh. My whole life, I worried about this posuk, b'chol nafshecho, that you shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your life. And what does it mean? So the Gemara says, v'afilu l'neitel es nafshecho, even to give your life, your actual life for Hashem, that is the mitzvah. Omati mosa yova liyode vakaymenu. So I always was worried about this and concerned, when would this opportunity come to me so I could fulfill it to give actually my life to Hashem. And now that the opportunity has come to me, it's in my hands, so I should not fulfill it. This is what he answered. This is a wonderful opportunity, he said. Because how often do you have an opportunity to give your life to Hashem? Now that I have the opportunity, I shouldn't do it. Therefore, he said the Shema. He said the Shema, and when it came to Echod, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echod, he was Mayrich, he carried the word, he said the word for a long time, prolonged the word. And his soul departed from him while he was prolonging this word Echod. At that time, at that moment, Yotzabasko, a voice from heaven came down, the Omro, and said, Ashrecha Rebbe Kiva, how fortunate are you, Rebbe Kiva, Shiyotza Dishmosko Be'echot, that your neshama departed from you when you pronounced the word Echot. So here we see again that he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Avo, he said, to love HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And how much to love HaKodesh Baruch Hu? Bechol nafshecho, even afilon eteles nafshecho, even if someone will take your life, with his entire life. And we see there was a significance from the fact that he fulfilled the mitzvah during the time he was prolonging the word Echod. That his soul departed when he said Echod, ho yemayrich be'echod, and the voice of heaven said, Ashrecha Rebbe Kiva, how fortunate are you, Rebbe Kiva, shiyotso nishmoscho be'echod, that your neshama departed from you on the word Echod. So here again we see a significance between the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, the love between Yisrael and Hashem, and between the word Echod. What is the significance? So this the Maral explains in his Nesiv Avas Hashem. He says that actually there is a well-known question that all of the philosophers used to ask. They used to ask, how is it possible for a human being to love Hashem? Generally, where do we find love? We find love between hadomim, between similarities. People of the same type enjoy each other. People who come from a common land. Chinese like to stay together with Chinese. And Indians like to stay together with Indians. And English like to stay together with English. Generally, people associate and they like each other. So we find love between people who have something in common with each other. You don't find love between people who have no common grounds. For example, Alhamdulillah, if you take in the animal kingdom, so the species cleave with each other, with their own species. You don't find dogs together with tigers, and tigers together with bear, and bear together with deer. So how is it possible, the philosophers would ask, for this mitzvah of Avo, for love between man and the Almighty? What is that? There's no common ground. There couldn't be greater distinctions. A man is a boss of a dog. He is made of flesh and blood. And the Almighty is totally nibdol. He's from another world. He's totally spiritual. He is divorced entirely from anything physical. So there couldn't be less common ground. So how is it possible that there should be Avo, should be love? This was a question which was commonly asked. So Maral answers as follows. He suggests to the contrary. Is the greatest love of all can be by man to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what is the essence of love? He says the essence of love is the dofkboy, Dvekus, to cleave. What is the essence of cleaving? One. The yisod, the foundation of love, is oneness. For example, like it states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Zohar and Akeva, male and female, so he said that the dovak be ishtar, man should cleave to his wife. And they will be one flesh. Why is there love between man and his wife? Because there's the possibility of a oneness there. The foundation of love is where there can be a oneness. By everything in the world, or by many things in the world, there's a possibility of a oneness, but not a total oneness. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a total oneness. Why? Because everyone comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone constantly lives and functions because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant input of life and energy. And everyone returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The soul comes from Hashem and he gives the soul back. So the greatest degree of oneness is found by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the person. See, this is true, what the philosopher said, that the domim, those people who have similar foundations, cleave together. But that's not merely because they're similar. That's because since there are similar foundations and they can identify with each other, so they can create a degree of oneness between each other. And it's that oneness which creates the vekus, cleaving, and avon, love. If you have two people that have nothing in common with each other, or you have different species of animals and so forth, so there can't be a degree of oneness. But the greatest degree of oneness is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and people. And surely Israel. Because Israel is B'ni B'cheri. Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is the Bonim Atem LaShem Elokecha. You are my firstborn. Bishvil Yisrael Nivra Elam. You were the main purpose for which the world was created, because I created it for a nation that would come and fulfill the Torah, accept the Torah and fulfill it. So therefore, it's like the fruit of a tree, that the attachment of the fruit to the tree is one. Therefore, before we say the after, before the mitzvah, the after, Es Hashem Elokechor, first we have to explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He is one together with the entire world, and he is one together with Israel. We are one with him. If that's the case, now there's a mitzvah and there's a possibility of fulfilling. After Es Hashem Elokecha, you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally. This is the reason of the Smichas Advorim, why these two psukim are placed together. Now we understand with Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva said, I want to fulfill this great mitzvah of total love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how is that? Bechol nafshicho, even by giving your life to him. This is the total oneness. So he gave his life to him. And he said, Shema, and Yotzo Nishmos say be'echod, and while he was b'mayrich be'echod, he was prolonging the word one, his soul departed, and the baskol, the voice of heaven, said, Ashrecha, Rebbe Kiva, how fortunate is Rebbe Kiva, Shiyotzo Nishmos be'echod, your soul departed and one, because this is the oneness. This is the essence of the avo, of the love of the Dvekus. So this gives us a great insight into this mile, into this level. It states that you should love Hashem, we said, b'chol levavecho, with all of your heart, b'chol nafshicho, with all of your life, b'chol ne'edecho, and with all of your means. Now this means totally, there should be no division between you and Hashem, but a total oneness. Now we're speaking of three different facets here. The Gemara says Bechol Levavecha refers to Aveda Zora. You shouldn't serve idolatry. Like Klal Yisrael went off with the Egel Azov, the golden calf. But you should serve only him, Bechol Levavecha, because idolatry has to do with the lev, with the heart. So the Maral explains, doesn't only mean idolatry. It means the Yetzer Hara tries to divide us from Hashem. He tries to make division, to destroy this oneness. So there are three ways he does it. One way is through the essence of evil. He tries to direct us away from Hashem, but towards other ideologies. Or we shouldn't do mitzvahs because of ideological reasons. A person comes to fulfilling, how do we make ourselves one with Hashem? We have to ace by fulfilling His will. Like it states right afterwards, that what I command you, you shall have on your heart, you should fulfill. So the Yetzer Hara, the evil, comes to try to keep us from fulfilling His will. So one way is to tell us that you don't have to fulfill mitzvahs because they're not necessarily the right things to do. There's no reasons to do them, and so forth. This is from ideological ways. So that's what it means. No, bechol levavecha. You should give your heart to Hashem totally. That whatever He tells us to do is totally right. Then it states, bechol nafshecha. Even you should give your life to Hashem. Now here, the nafshecha refers to the chiyus, the chayei shel ha'odom, the life in the person. When it comes to doing mitzvahs, there's a second calculation why people don't want to do mitzvahs, even if we agree to the fact that it's the right thing to do. But it's difficult. A mitzvah can be difficult. It's too much work, too much difficulty, so forth. That has to do with the life of the person. Because effort and labor, that's the life of the person. So therefore it states, Bechol nafshecha, you shall throw your entire life into serving Hashem, into doing, fulfilling His will. Like we see the ultimate was afilo neitelas nafshecha, even if it's giving your actual life. But there's many, many levels before them. To project your entire efforts and life into His mitzvahs. And then bechol me'edecho. Bechol me'edecho refers to, the Gemara says, either with all of your material means. There's another cheshbon, the Yetzer Hara comes along and says, do not fulfill this mitzvah, because it means departing from material possessions. It's going to cost money. It's too expensive to keep kashrus. Or tefillin cost a lot of money. A lulav cost a lot of money. Tzedakah, why should you give your money away? Mitzvahs can cost money. See, Yetzer Hara says, look, save it better for your children, the money. Even though your children already have everything they need, let's save it better for the children. This is the Yetzer Hara that's coming to tell you, to separate you from the fulfillment of Hashem's will because of material, your material possessions. That's one interpretation, Bechol Me'edecho. There's another interpretation, Bechol Mido Mido Shemaidin, or from every situation that you find yourself in, there are those people who are always praising Hashem when things are good. Baruch Hashem. But when things get difficult, then it's kotzloi. Then they speak out against Hashem. They say, you know, how can the Almighty be so cruel, heaven forbid? And why is the Almighty doing this? And there are people who give up their belief in Hashem, or they don't want to do mitzvahs because of that. We are commanded not to be merely good weather Jews. See, we're commanded to be good Jews both in good weather and in bad weather. And that's what it means, Bechol me'edecho, Bechol mido b'mido, she made it in Israel. That in whatever situation you might find yourself, a good situation or not such a good situation, you have to be one with Hashem. This is how the Gemara darshens this, and this again is illustrating the oneness between Yisrael and Hashem, and this is the Ava. And this was represented in the Mishkan, like we mentioned, of the Kruvim. Bisman she'asim v'retzeinu shel mokem, when Klal Yisrael were fulfilling the will of Hashem, so the Kruvim was p'neiem elochiv. One looked at the other. This means there was a oneness between them. There was a love between them. Bisman she'ainasim v'retzeinu shel mokem, when Klal Yisrael did not fulfill the will of Hashem, this means they were departing from Hashem. There was a division, a mechitza. Then the Kruvim turned away from each other. And that could cause a siluk hashchina, where the shchina would depart from the Mishkan. Now, the Sifri says, interesting, that on these three levels that we just mentioned, actually, the Oves, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one excelled in one particular level. It states, Behold, Levavacha, Hainu, Avram. Avraham, he fulfilled loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of his heart. Actually, Avraham was the one who fought the ideological war for Hashem. In his time, it was a world of kfira, a world of atheism. Not that the world today is not so much changed. We live today also in a world of kfira, see, where the world denies the mitzvahs of Hashem. Not only in countries like Russia or China, see, or Central Africa or other such countries, where clearly they deny, they don't even know, or they deny, or it's a government policy to recognize Hashem. But even in the European countries, right, in the West, what is the greatest illustration of it? The greatest illustration is if you can have public debates whether homosexuals should be legal or illegal, right, whether abortion should be legal or illegal. I mean, if you'll bring up, it's explicit in the Torah. Torah explicitly says it's illegal. So what will they tell you? They tell you, we don't recognize the Torah. The fact is, there was a case in America just recently. When I was in New York, a few months ago, I think the case was happening then because I saw it in a magazine, that there was something took place. It could have been a murder or something, a mass murder or something else. And the prosecutor, in summing up his case to the jury, quoted the Bible. See? He said, how can you leave a man like that go free? The Bible says you shouldn't kill, and this man killed so many people and so forth. And the case was thrown out of court. The entire case was dismissed because of that reason. Because he quoted the Bible in a court of law, which the law has to abide by the laws set down by the people and the government and not by the Bible. And it was called a mistrial. So can you have a greater illustration than that? You have all kind of great discussions going on in the West, see, on all of these issues, promiscuity and pornography and murder, death penalty, see, and homosexuality, whatever it is. And heaven forbid someone should quote the Bible, they'll call it a mistrial immediately. What are you quoting such sources for? Can there be a greater illustration of kfira? See? Where the kafir, it's an open rejection. See? An open rejection of the law of Hashem. We don't live by the law of Hashem. We don't recognize the law of Hashem. We live by democracy. Democracy means that the people make their own laws. This democracy. We don't live by the law of Hashem. So this that we're saying that Abraham lived in such a time, it doesn't mean that we don't also live in such a time. But Abraham's time was a little even worse, because at that time it states that the whole world forgot Hashem, the whole world, and there was no Yisrael yet. So it was forgotten from the whole world outside of a few individuals. And Abraham was the one who went and fought this. He fought it tooth and nail to bring the oneness of Hashem and the belief of Hashem back to the world. And it states, Rambam writes, he went mi mamlachta le mamlachta, mi medina le medina. He traveled from empire to empire, from state to state. Kedei b'kol Hashem, he called out in the name of Hashem, taught people, and he gathered together tens of thousands of followers, where he taught them the way of Hashem. So this was Abraham. He loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavecho. The oneness there was that there could be no ideological differences between he and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah. It states b'chol nafshecho. What is the illustration that you should love Hashem with your entire life? Zeh Yitzchok. Yitzchok is the one who excelled on this, because Yitzchok gave his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it came to being sacrificed on the altar, Yitzchok was prepared. So he is the one who excelled b'chol nafshecho u'b'chol me'edecho, and the one who loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol me'edecho with all of his means. It says Zeh Yaakov. This was Yaakov, who said kotonti mikol hachasodim, that he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He would always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikol hachasodim, for all of the chesed which you did for me. What it's meant by this, that we said b'chol be'edecho, means you must serve Hashem, you must serve, you must love Hashem with all of your means, and with any, from any situation that you find yourself in. In other words, not a good weather Jew. Things are good, I love Hashem. See? No, but in any situation. Here we find Yaakov would always say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kotonti mikol hachasodim, that I don't deserve all of the chesed, all of the kindliness that you're constantly doing for me. I don't live up to it. This is what Yaakov Avinu would say. We find that it states that Yaakov was Buchen Letzoris. Yaakov Avinu, he was the one in particular that lived a life of Tzoris, of troubles. There was none of the Ovish, none of our forefathers, none of our predecessors lived such a troubled life as Yaakov. Many times we stop to think and say, I have difficulties, they had it easy. If only I could live a life like them. It's not true. It's not true. Yaakov, who was the Bechir, he was the perfection of all of the Oves, there was no one that had such Soros. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created the world and said enough, when he created the world, should say Dai Letzoris Sorosi, enough for my Tzoros. He says Minu'urai, from my youth I was never able to rest. In my youth I had trouble with Esav when it came to the brochas. Esav hated me, and then I had to run from Esav for my life, and I came to Lavan. And when I came to Lavan, so Lavan deceived me, Esher remaining, 10 times, the Chazal say 100 times. He deceived me with my wife, and he deceived me with the sheep, and so forth, and Bikesh Lakres Akol, Lavan wanted to destroy me. And then I had Soros, when I left Lavan, I had Soros with Dina. All the nations came and they made war against me, they abducted Dina. And then I came after Dina, and then I had Soros with Rachel. Rachel died in childbirth. And then I came and I had to confront Esav again. Well, that was before yet. Esav came with 400 men and he wanted to make war. And then I came back home and I had Soros with Yosef. Yosef was abducted. And then Soros with Shimon, they took Shimon. And then Soros with Binyamin. and so forth and so on. He said, Minu Urai, from my youth, I never was able to live without Tzoris. So he was the one that Tzoris was set aside for him. And yet, he would praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Katonti Mikol HaChasodim, that I do not deserve the great chesed, the great kindliness that you have always shown me. This is a level, see. This is a great level. So this is what is meant, Behold me Eidecho, that you should cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every situation that you find yourself, with everything that you possess. So these were three levels were achieved, each one in particular, by the three of us, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, when we speak about the Ava, there's another facet also, and that is something that we generally are not aware of. We know Ava means there should be love between Israel and Hashem. The Gemara brings in Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We've quoted this many times. The Gemara says, "V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha," brings the pasuk we're speaking about. You should love the Lord your God. Besides the mitzvah of loving Hashem, it goes a little further. Sheshem Shemayim Misayev Al Yotcha. There's a mitzvah encompassed in this. Not only that you should love Hashem, but that you should cause others to love Hashem. That also is in the mitzvahs of Ava. The hour after, Sheshem Shemayim Misayev Al Yotcha, that you should cause others also to love Hashem. How do you cause others to love Hashem? So the Gemara says, "Kere v'sheine u'mishamish tamidei chachomim." You should go learn Chumash. You should go learn Mishnah. You should go learn Gemara. And spend your time with tamidei chachomim. V'yemasai u'matnoi b'nachas. And then when you go into the fields of commerce, your masaya matnoi should be be'amuna. Your dealings should be upright. V'diburei b'nachas im abriyas. And when you speak to people, you should speak kindly to them. You should not speak curtly to them. You should not shout at them. You should not be unfriendly to them, like the Gemara brings with Rabbi Yehiam ben Zakkai, that he was kind to everyone. He was friendly to everyone. V'lahigdim odom sholem eilom, and nobody ever greeted him before he greeted them. Afilu nochri shebeshuk, even a non-Jew in the marketplace. So then it says, Mahabriyas Aimre Shalov. If a person is like that, what do people say? Ashrei Oviv Shalom Deteir. How fortunate is his father that taught him Torah? Actually, there's another Girsa, we don't have it here, but there's another Girsa, Ashrei Imai Shegodalte. How fortunate is his mother that brought him up? Ashrei Rabbi Shalom Deteir. How fortunate is his Rebbe that taught him Torah? Oilem Labriyas Shalom Deteir. What do people say? How unfortunate it is for those people that didn't study Torah. Here, Beryl went and he studied Torah, and look how beautiful his ways are. How perfect are his deeds. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these are my people. He takes pride. So what do we see? The after doesn't mean only that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the love has to be so great where you have a desire that others should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you make others love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You make others love HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being a model and an ambassador for Hashem. If a person has a great love for a king. So he tries to promote the king's image and the king's name wherever he goes. If a person has a great love for his nation, he tries to promote the nation's name and its image wherever he goes. If he has a great love for his family, so he's always standing up and trying to promote the honor of his family. So you want to know if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? The test is as follows. We'll see how are you promoting the name of Hashem. If you're doing things that will bring others to love Hashem, that's a sign that you're fulfilling what you're after. If not, then it's a sign that you're not fulfilling what you're after. If you become a model for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where people can say, if this is what his Torah does, if this is the kind of person it makes, if this is the kind of individual, the kind of gentleman it makes, then I want that also for myself and my children. You're promoting the name of Hashem. You're bringing others to love him. Then you are fulfilled be after. What is the canvas? Someone who goes and studies, goes to learn Chumash and Mishnah, goes to Yeshiva and studies. Then he comes out and his dealings are not upright. And he doesn't speak kindly to people. He doesn't speak to them at all, or he doesn't greet them, or he's not friendly. Or he shouts at them, or he speaks curtly to them. Maha Briyas Emres. What do people say? Oy leile pleini shalom det lomatera. Oy, how unfortunate it is that this person went to study Torah. Oy leile oviv shalom detera. How unfortunate it is to his father that he sent him to yeshiva. His mother that she raised him. Rabbi shalom detera. How unfortunate it is to his Rebbe that taught him Torah. Look, pleini lom detera kama milkul kolei maisov. Here he went and to study Torah, and look what kind of person he is. How awful of a person he is. Kama miku orin drochem, how ugly are his ways. Olova kwasaveime beamolehem amashem elu maatsi yotsu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these are not my people. I can't take pride in them. This is a sign if a person like that, who feels he has great love for Hashem, but is not interested in bringing this love, that others should also have love for Hashem, and being a model for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's not love for Hashem, that's Abbas Atzma. He has love for himself, doesn't have love for Hashem. And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him a seine. That's a hated one. A person who goes around, who represents a king, and he gives the king a bad name, that's an enemy of the king. What happens if you have an ambassador? An ambassador for a state, and he goes around and gives the state a bad name. What do they do with a person like that? They dismiss him. He's a bad image for he's dismissed immediately. They tell you he's a bad image for you. They wire you from overseas that this representative that you sent here, get rid of him. He's doing you more harm than good. You can't imagine the churban he's causing there. He's a bad image for you. Get rid of him quickly. Instead of promoting you, you can't imagine what kind of name he's giving you here. He's destroying your prestige. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on these people. Because for that reason, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, when he built his Volozhiner Yeshiva, which was the mother of all of the modern Lithuanian yeshivas, he was very, very, and the Bishel Salanter also, and later, they were very, very demanding that every Talmud that came out of the yeshiva should go out of his way to be a perfect model in society. Someone who didn't go to yeshiva, also, but they weren't so demanding because, for example, if an individual goes overseas, an individual South African goes overseas, and he makes a bad name for himself. It's not good, but they're not going to necessarily hold it against the whole state. But if South Africa sends over, if they send over an ambassador, right, or they send over a special envoy of the president, right, and he makes a fool of himself. Right? I mean, this is then it becomes a diplomatic problem with the whole state. So this is how Reb Chaim Volozhiner used to say that a ben yeshiva, someone who studied in yeshiva, this also they would say in tells all the time, but these were all echoes from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He's an ambassador. This is an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore he must be a perfect model in society. So that's a facet of Avos Hashem, that we don't always so readily relate, consider that this is inclusive in the mitzvah. Now, one step further in the same vein is what it states in the Mishnah Avos. Mishnah Avos in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel, says as follows. Who are your aimer? Reb Chanina ben Deisa would say, "Kol sheruach habrias neichemeno, ham ruach hamokem neichemeno." Whoever that from the that the spirit of the people take joy and delight in him, you have an individual, and the spirit of the people take joy and delight in him. They have nachas from him. Then you can be sure that Ruach HaMokim Nechimena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, also takes delight and nachas from this individual. Kol She'ein Ruach HaBriyas Nechimena. When you have an individual, though, that people dislike, they don't like him. Or even if they don't like him, even if not necessarily they might not dislike him, but they don't take joy and delight from him, then you could be sure it's Ein Ruach HaMokim Nechimena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also doesn't take delight from him. Now the Rishonim bring on this Mishnah, they bring this statement from the Chazal, Mi shahu ohuv lemato, biyadua shahu ohuv lemalo. An individual that's beloved in this world, then you could be assured that he's beloved by Hashem in the upper worlds. Someone who's not beloved in this world is not beloved by Hashem in the upper worlds. And they bring the posuk. See, they bring the posuk. This is brought the Rashi, others the Gro. Motzochein, it's a posuk in Mishle Gimel, Motzochein v'seichel tev b'enei elakim v'odom. We have to try to find to be good and to be beloved in the eyes of Hashem and people. It's not enough to be beloved in the eyes of Hashem alone. It's not enough to be beloved in the eyes of people alone. We have to strive to be beloved in the eyes of both of them. Now we can ask a question. It says that if people take joy from this individual, you could be assured HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take joy from him. Why? Well, who says one thing is dependent on the other? Why should we say one is dependent on the other? Kol sheruach habriyas neichemeno, ruach hamokim neichemeno. People take joy from Beryl. Everybody likes Beryl. You could be assured Hashem likes Beryl. Ooh, why? Why should we say that? And if people don't like Beryl, you can be assured that Hashem doesn't like Beryl. Why should we say that? So the Maral says something which is very profound in his commentary on all this. Very, very important. In Yecheskel, Lamed Vov, it states, "Vesruchi etein bekirbechem." Hashem says, "My spirit, I shall place in you." A person has a good spirit. He has, heaven forbid, a ruach raw. He has an evil spirit in him. The evil spirit, that comes from the Yetzer Hara. This spirit that he has in him, where he wants to do evil, right, that's from the Yetzer Hara. But he has a good spirit in him also. It's human nature that a person has a conscience. He has a conscience. He has a natural striving to do good, to do what's right. He doesn't always do what's good. He doesn't always do what's right. That's because the Yetzer Hara misdirects him or entices him. But by nature, he wants to do what's good. He wants to do what's right. He wants to do something which is noble and honorable and great. He has such a spirit. Where does that spirit come from? We would say that's the Yetzer Tov. No, that's not the Yetzer Tov. If he has a spirit in him that wants to do evil, that's from the Yetzer Hara. But this spirit, to do something honorable and noble, where does that come from? That's not the Yetzer Tov. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'es ruchi etein b'kivdachem." My spirit I will place in you. If a person has a little spirit like that, then he has a little of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in him. He has a great deal of spirit, then he has a great deal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in him. When a person feels uplifted to do what's right and to do what's noble and to achieve and to do what's great in Hashem's eyes, he has to have great respect for that motivation, because that's the Ruach Kodshoi, that's the spirit of Hashem in him. How? What right do we have to say this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. V'etein, v'esruchi etein b'kirbechem. My spirit I will place in you. Now, if there is an individual that Ruach Habriyas Neichemen, that people take joy and delight from him, their spirit is always enjoying this individual and they're always delighting in him. Now we're speaking about their good spirit. We're not speaking that the man is an actor in Hollywood or he's some gangster or mobster and all the other gangsters enjoy him. Understand? We're speaking where there's a noble spirit in a person. So when people like that person, see, their good spirit enjoys that person, you can be assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having nachas from that person. Why? Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu spirit in him. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu spirit in him. When you have a person that turns everyone off, though, he turns everyone sour, then you could be assured that he turns HaKadosh Baruch Hu off also, because that's his spirit he has placed in the people. And therefore that's what is meant, Misha Olhuv Lemato Hu Olhuv Lemalo Miyadua Shu Olhuv Lemalo. Someone who is beloved in this world, then you could be assured he'll be beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the love that he's that he's causing to be emanated by the people, that's the spirit of Hashem. So we see that this Ava is not only a oneness between man and Klal Yisrael, between man and Hashem. It goes even further to the point where they want to promote Hashem, to create a love between the people and Hashem, and if this person is beloved to the people, not only he has an active love to Hashem, but if there's an active love between him and the people, there's a oneness between him and the people, there's a unity and a joy and a simcha between he and the people, then that's the after, that's a love between him and Hashem. Because that spirit in the people that loves him,
That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore there's a oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it states in the Mishnah, where a Meir called Leimei Teiru Lishma, Zeche Ledvorim Harbei, whoever learns Torah Lishma, he's Zeche to great things. And it states there, Nikra Ohu, he's called the Beloved, he's Oluf to the people, Oluf to Hashem. Is Misameach, he brings joy to the people, Misameach, and he brings Simcha to Hashem, and so forth. These are principles in oneness, in the Echod, which leads to the V'ahavta. And it was these principles that built the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan represented the oneness in the ultimate between Hashem and the people. Because not only did he give them his Torah, but he came and he lived with them. And Ein Adam Der, Dor, Im Misha Seinai, nobody lives with someone else that he hates. Therefore, it was called Elu Pekudei Mishkan Mishkan Edus. Therefore, the sanctuary was a living testimony to the love of Hashem and the people, the oneness, because this is where he dwelled, and this was the Kruvim, and that he forgave them from the Egel Azova, the golden calf, which was the opposite, just the contrary to that oneness. That was the act of unfaithfulness. It is no wonder, then, how we can understand what the Chazal tell us, that it was because of the division, see, in Klal Yisrael, and all of the strife, and all of the machlekes, and the Loshon Hora, and the Sinas Chinon, that was Chorav Esbotenu, that destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, and was Golu Es HaShchino, and sent the Shchino into exile. So this is the essence of the Mishkan, and this is what we must constantly strive for. Yitz Hashem, we should all be Zeche to see the return of the Shchino in totality to Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdosh, and to Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.